It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Saquon Barkley joins us in moments. Talk about the upcoming season. Last season, his Eagles Radiothon item, one of a couple, but the big one being golf with him and Jason Kelce at Trout National. You can bid it at eaglesradiothon.com. Benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. That item at $30,500 currently.
Crazy.
Which is a bargain. By
awesome.
The, you know, one of a kind. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. All right. New question. Ike, you have to guess response. Do you think the Phillies will win tonight's series finale against the Mets?
Oh, man. I actually don't.
You don't think they're going to win?
No, though? I don't.
Okay.
I wonder if fans believe they will win. I'm going to say this is close. Let's go 54% say no.
64% say no.
Okay.
Not a lot of
good vibes. Vibes.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
The good vibes are gone. Burn the boats is over.
I know it's
abandoned
not.
Ship.
Well, it's burn the boats or abandoned ship.
I'm going to tell you what it is. Yeah. It's not over, but I do believe we've been convinced that the playing in New York thing is legitimate.
Oh, well.
So
yeah.
They're playing in New York
in New
again
York.
Tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Well, and I think I mentioned to you.
We can't wait till this series is over with now.
Well, by the way, I think I mentioned this to you when it started about Burn the Boats. Is like the whole point is that when it gets difficult, you cannot turtle up
right.
and retreat.
Yeah.
Like it didn't mean they're going to be good the rest of the
right.
year. It means that now they are faced with a difficult you know, opponent, and they are faced with a difficult situation.
Yeah.
And they cannot, it cannot be an option to just, you know, turtle up, say, Zach's not here. If we had Zach, if we just get out of New York tonight.
Right.
You know, even if we lose tonight, we still have a four-game lead.
Yeah,
you can't.
You can't get off. You know, we burned the boats. We're not going back.
Yes, that's what it has to be about.
We're there.
Man up.
But I wonder how many people have aborted that already.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't care if any fans have. It to me, it is about them. And like,
oh, you mean the Phillies?
The
yeah.
Phillies
yeah.
At this point, because they were going through, obviously, a very difficult situation losing Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
And the point was, how are you going to handle this?
I like what I saw last night.
Yeah.
Like, from a bounce back from what it was Monday night. So I don't think the players have necessarily retreated or want to go back. I think they still
Monday kind of looked like it. Monday kind of looked like they rolled up and
yeah. Yes, but then
well,
yesterday.
You know what I think happened Monday? They got out to their early lead and then that lead dwindled away and then they started like Bryce started pressing and doing you get guys start doing things they don't normally do or they shouldn't do and then that thing just snowballed on the Monday. But I thought they came out yesterday like they were locked in.
Now, they did try to do – there were some moments of trying to do a little bit too much. I mean, I thought the Bryce trying to steal that base and getting thrown out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where, on one hand, if he gets it, you're like, there he is being aggressive, trying to make something happen. But you rarely see him trying to steal a base there. And, like, Weston Wilson, a desperate dive in
yes.
left field.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
– Also, why did he slide into second – Like when he went to from first to
because
third.
Because he didn't see the ball get hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
they deked him out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Got it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I'm like, because I said the same thing. Like, dude, did you not see the ball go through the infield?
Well, and then he got credit to him. He got right,
he got up.
Right back up.
And he beat out that double play late, which was big. So you appreciate the hustle there. But then Bader threw the ball over the 8 feet over everyone's head. That was another moment of like trying to do too much.
Am I being too cynical or too harsh? If I say the dive by Weston Wilson in left field was fake hustle,
like he knew he wasn't getting
yes.
to it. Yeah,
yes.
I think
it's possible.
Okay,
yeah, it's
okay.
Possible.
I didn't want to give him that because he doesn't play every day.
Yeah.
Sure,
but that looked like, dude, seriously, stay on your feet and just
go get the ball.
Go get the ball. Man.
Trying to get a little like a attaboy from Topper.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh, you're really
yeah,
out there trying yeah. to do it. I like that.
See,
like that.
By the way, you mentioned Bader, and we saw Duran meltdown last night. By the way, Saquon Barkley joins us in moments. You mentioned Bader, and that's part of the reason that I'm just not buying the whole Mets thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bader threw it over, you know, through
everybody's head.
And he was playing in Citi Field last year. Like, Harrison Bader is not spooked by the Mets.
Right.
Jhoan Duran's not spooked by the Mets.
No.
You know, like, and those guys both had, you know, similar small meltdowns last night. And neither one of those guys cares about Citi Field and cares about the Mets. Yeah. It's just sort of like, they've look, they got swept by the Pirates. We didn't say that the Pirates have their number.
They do play bad out of PNC.
Yeah, but the Pirates don't have their number. So I'm just like, I'm not worried about the Mets thing. They're going to win tonight. We're going to win tonight. Score a bunch of runs.
Well, that's why I said no. Maybe they will win tonight.
Yes, we could use that.
What do we call it? Reverse psychology?
Yes, a little reverse psychology. Before we get to Saquon, Matt in the Northeast joins us. Matt, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gents.
What's up, Matt?
Thanks for having me.
Yes, you're the opening act for Saquon Barkley. So.
Yeah, which means I'm about to get cut off. So, get two quick safety announcements for you guys.
Yeah.
First, for Jackie Basketball, back him down because you'll never live it down. That's number one.
I like
you
that sign.
You don't back him down, use that sign, you're not going to live it down. He's never going to let you forget it.
Well, the thing, Matt. Jack says he's not really a post-up guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was working in the post this morning a little bit.
Yeah, he's a face-to-basket slasher.
Yeah, you know what I am? Is it a triple threat?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Ishalo and Melo would get the ball and do a little thing over.
It can't be a triple threat in one-on-one.
No.
Well, why not?
Because you can't pass it.
Who are you
it?
Passing the ball to?
There's not a third threat, you idiot.
So I thought the triple threat was like, either I'm going to go past you, go backwards.
No.
Little spin.
Goodness gracious.
No. It's shoot, pass,
or
drive.
Shoot, pass, or drive, man. Yeah.
Good to know.
Use that size and you'll never live it down. And for you, Spike, I don't remember 08, we had a big water cooler debate on whether it was more important, the route or the ring. And I was in the age group where I was born for rings, but I never recalled one. And all I cared about was the ring. I didn't care about the route. I didn't care that it was the Rays. I just wanted the ring because I had a sneaky suspicion we wouldn't have beat the Yankees.
Oh, for sure.
So, when it comes to the Mets, if we don't play them, good. I don't want to have to worry about winning four games at home to beat somebody because we can't win at Citi Field.
Oh, I mean, like, look.
I want no parts of the Mets in the postseason.
See, that's the attitude I don't want. So
I want no parts of the Mets in the postseason.
Let me try to split it for you here. I don't need to play the Mets in the playoffs. Right. I'm not dying to play the Mets. But that said, like, I also don't have the attitude of like, oh no, we can't beat the Mets. Like, Jeff McNeil is a dork. Pete Alonso is a dork. You know,
yeah, but also, like, you know, Lindor's had good postseasons.
Yes, Lindor's great.
Juan Solo's there.
Yeah, I'm not worried
about
Vientos. Juan Solo,
for some reason, rips this team and
he does.
Stinks for the entire rest of the season.
By the way, was Trey Turner in the wrong spot on that Vientos ground ball? Like, he seemed like he was playing straight up the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. It's like if the guy's throwing 100 miles an hour anyway. Look, I agree with you. I will take it any way I can get it. I would rather have the easiest opponent. But being a Sixers fan, you know, several years ago, we thought we had the easiest path to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we have the Wizards. Oh, my God, now we have the Hawks. This is going to be the easiest thing in the world. So they'll play who they play. I just know I'm not scared of the Mets.
There you go.
Agreed.
All right, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
All right.
Well, I hope it works with you not being scared of him, because last year when I wasn't scared of him, it didn't help at all.
No.
I did the whole bring the Mets on, New York Philly rivalry. I was all for it last year.
Yeah, we need a little Bader swagger in there. I mean, Bader's played for both New York teams. You know, he's not scared of anything up there. Maybe Bader talks to the team.
Well, he's a meet the moment kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need him playing every day.
He's playing. I think he's kind of taking that job and running with it. Now, he's getting like two hits a night, so it's hard to take him out.
Yeah.
He is in there tonight. He's batting ninth, which I think is interesting.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I like
what Topper's doing. All of them should be on their toes. Nobody gets comfortable, meaning the outfield.
Yeah, but I guess I don't mind, just to go into the new lineup thing, I don't mind Bader hitting ninth with those other
Turner
guys hitting
top.
Behind him. Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, it's Turner and Schwarber. If he's hitting well, put guys on base for them. Remember, it's only the first inning that Harrison Bader is not hitting ahead of Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper. So,
took me a long time to realize that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was a different thing when the pitcher had a hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we went through the whole exercise with Schwarber being in the leadoff spot. This is some of the stuff that Fritz and Gillio would say about Schwarber being
in the leadoff. He only bats once a game.
Yes. Yeah. Leadoff. He only leadoff once a game.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. His leadoff once a game, yes. But I also like would like Bader getting more at bats.
Yes,
in a game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So batting ninth
takes
that down a little bit. I like Stott in that spot.
Okay. All right. Man, we're thinking about having Saquon on and just talking about it before he comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember any first season being in Philadelphia like the first season Saquon had.
T.O. is the only thing I think could come close to it.
Comes close.
No, you're right. Roy's first year.
You know, both great.
Man.
Both great. Saquon ending in a Super Bowl.
Yes. Tops everybody.
Yeah, the most yards in history.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what goes through the mind of somebody when you come in and you do something that great. And, like, if he is the way I think he is,
mm-hmm.
what he wants to do is do better than he has done before.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that there was a way to top last year. Like, in terms of production, in terms of success, like, that's the best that it can be. Mm-hmm. That's why when you talk about not thinking about the year before, I think of all Eagles players, he's the one. Because everybody else has stuff that they can do better. Saquon's the one that doesn't really have anything he can do better.
Has a higher bar to reach.
Yeah, he's trying to match
what he did a year ago.
He is a guy I need last year to be completely out of his mm-hmm. mind. So he's just approaching this year as this year and not trying to match last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally know what you're saying. And that also is going to be relied upon with the coaching staff.
Yes.
Their usage of him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's not going to say, don't give me the ball. Right?
No, so, no. Yeah, he wants to do everything.
If they want to keep giving him the ball, he's going to run it.
215-592-9494. Jim and Belmar, you're on WIP. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, afternoon. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate Fritz on his run, first off and foremost. And secondly, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, of course. Congratulations, Fritz.
Yeah. So impressive.
What do you do?
Nothing.
Anyway, I'm calling for two reasons. Number one, I was encouraged by the Phillies last night because at least for the first, four or five innings, Luzardo kept the Mets off the board. That's encouraging to me because they are a good team against the Phillies. The thing that worries me and has worried me most of the season is that Topper doesn't keep the hot hand with the pitcher. Like, you had, believe it or not, Jose Alvarado come in, pitch 12 pitches, but you don't send him out the next inning, kind of a thing. And this has been his bane for as long as I've been rooting for him. You can't do that stuff in the postseason. You have to have a sense of, if he's got the hot hand, keep him in there.
Well,
But then it takes him out of pitching today. Like, you want to pitch bullpen guys in multiple innings because they pitch one good inning. Why not leave Stroman for the other inning when he struck out the side?
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, no, you have to manage for 162. You can't manage for every single game. You also need Strom for the rest of the series. And Alvarado.
I'm not saying all the time. If you got a runaway game and we're winning 17-3 or whatever, you can put in whoever you want, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but Jim, here's the issue. They play I think 10 straight days or something. And we have starting pitching in baseball now. Like, these guys are going to go six innings. Maybe Chris Sanchez will go seven or eight at some point. When you take a guy out of the option of pitching the next night, and they only have four relievers we can rely on anyway. We have Duran, we have Kirkering, we have Strom, we have Alvarado, Tanner Banks, I guess. You're going to need three of them basically every single night. You can't pitch a guy two innings and then not have him tomorrow, because then we're throwing a minor leaguer in there. If we need the same situation,
your math is wrong.
It's not.
Listen, if you had, it is.
It's not.
You have. How many people you have in the bullpen? More than 10.
No. How many reliable pitchers do they have in the bullpen? Let's count them, Jim. How many reliable pitchers that Duran? Right.
You got Duran. You got Strom. You got Kirkering. Well, Kirkering's half and half.
Let's just call him reliable for the sake of argument.
For the sake of argument, okay. And then Ross is down.
Strom and Banks, which is what I just said. They have five guys. They're basically going to need three guys every night. every single night. Okay, they're going to need at least three guys. That's if the starter goes six innings.
And you're handing him off to Duran in a 4-4 game, which should have led to a win. Like, you're not taking him out for a scrub.
No. Here's my point. If you're able to use one of those pitchers for two innings, you're saving the other guys in the event something goes south. I'm counting on Duran in the ninth, period.
Yes, and then if something goes south in inning two, both guys are burned.
Not, but it's like, not likely. I've never seen it, to be honest with you. I think I've seen...
You've never seen it? You've never seen a pitcher pitch well one inning and then not pitch well the next inning?
Topper changes the pitcher after one good inning. I've never seen him pitch the same pitcher two innings in a row, ever, in all the time that he's been here.
Well,
now, my memory's not perfect. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, that's not true.
I'm sure he
for
has.
For the life of me, I can't remember it. Anyway,
yeah.
Go Birds and go Phils.
All right, go Birds.
There you
go
Birds. Don't get mad, Jack.
Yeah. You gotta settle down in there.
Me?
Yeah, you get too mad.
Well, it's just this whole, like, that's such an old thing, is being obsessed with these relievers having to pitch multiple innings because they're the quote-unquote hot hand. It could also blow up in the second inning, like, of where it goes south. And Alvarado, so all of a sudden you want him to throw 30 pitches instead of 12, like, getting out there after one? Like,
I
used to be able to do that.
I know. These guys throw harder now. Yeah. And, you know, it's
when they're
it's
used
different.
More. I think the biggest thing is that when the starters went longer, you wouldn't necessarily need a guy as many times a week as you need him, right? Like, if your starter was going seven innings, maybe even eight innings, all of a sudden you only need one guy or two guys a night. But if these guys are only going six innings, sometimes five innings, you need your full bullpen as much as you can have it, I think. And that's why they do it that way.
Yeah,
I guess that wouldn't make me crazy if he used a guy for two innings.
Until he blows up in the second inning.
And everybody says that it's Topper's job of any job in sports. A baseball manager's job is 100% dependent on whether
results.
It works or not.
Yep.
Yeah, whether it's the right move or not doesn't really matter. It's whether it works or not.
I agree.
215-592-9494. William in Jenkintown, you're on WIP.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, William.
What up, Will?
Hey, nothing much. Michigan State, brother.
Go Green.
This is a must win with Taiwan on the hill. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. I can tell you how I feel about it. You know what? It's unfair to Taiwan because he's been pretty good this year.
He has.
But.
He pitched in New York?
He did. He did. Listen, I can't say recent history says Taiwan goes out and has a bad outing tonight. Quite frankly, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Game two starter, Taiwan.
No. You've
been saying that too much. Jack's been saying that too much.
Do you really believe that?
No.
Okay.
Too much. And then can I send out a message to the awful caller, Aaron in San Diego?
Yes.
So, Aaron, when you come into Philly, apparently you're going to McGirt's because you're a little loser that invited himself, like a little loser does, because you got no friends.
Well, everyone's invited.
Yeah, everyone's invited. Yeah.
No one wants you around. I know you got a thing for sending pictures of your wife to Hugh, so I just want to let you know I'll be there. If you want to bring her, we can take her back to the hotel.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
What the hell?
What is going on?
Why don't we take a breather? We think Saquon will join us next.
In the next segment.
In the next segment. Saquon Barkley joins us next. In the next segment.
Holy cow.
Eagles Radiothon. That was a little extreme.
Insane.
A little.
Yeah.
And you and Aaron are on good terms.
We're on fine terms. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Day one of Eagles Radiothon. Bid on once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. EaglesRadiothon.com. Like the one we will talk with Saquon Barkley about. Play golf with Jason Kelce and Saquon Barkley at Trout National Golf Club. By the way, that is up to $30,500. Go to lunch with Howie Roseman. Ask him whatever you want. We heard from Ryan Hammond. The one guy showed... Oh, wow. Speaking of Saquon Barkley. Oh, no.
What happened?
One time for your mouse to lock up. Saquon Barkley joins us now. Thank you, Saquon. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So we were just talking about, we have this item for the Eagles Radiothon to benefit the Eagles Autism Foundation to play golf with you and Kelsey at Trout National Golf Club. It's over $30,000 right now, just to let you know, to play golf with
you
guys.
How about that?
Yeah, pretty crazy. What is it? You seem to love golf. Lots of professional athletes seem to love golf. What is it about golf that becomes like an obsession?
I think one, it depends when you ask me. If you ask me after my last round, I kind of hate golf. when things are going all right, I'm in love with it. I think the reason why we get obsessed with it is just the challenge it brings. You're literally trying to hit a ball that's not moving, and some days it works, some days it doesn't. But I love it just for how it helps me mentally, too. Just when you're on a golf course, you're kind of away, you're not focusing on anything else. Kind of like let your mind decompress. So just the love of the game, the challenge of the game, and just the mental part of it is really helpful for me.
Dream foursome? You could play golf any other three people. Who would the three people be?
Tiger.
Tiger.
Ooh.
I got to go Tiger. Charles Barkley. I think, you know, I've heard that he wanted to get out with me, so I want to make that happen. So I'm going to go Tiger, Charles, and Michael Jordan. I think those would be, that would be a fun competitive day.
Well, yeah.
I mean, competitive more of like talking crap, not like on a golf course because I'm not any good right now.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, how long have you been playing? What's your game looking like?
The game right now is bad. We're struggling off the tee. We're struggling off the tee really bad. Short game, we have a saying in my friend group, you can't teach hands and you can't teach heart, and I got both.
There you go.
My short game is good. I got down to 10, back up to 11-8 right now. So we're trending down right now.
What do you mean? As in a handicap, 10 and 11?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you something, Saquon.
Oh, dude, you're pretty damn good. Yeah, yeah. I love to have that. And I've been playing for like 25 years and don't seem like it's helping me at all. So, yeah, you're doing pretty good.
I put a little too much work in it. I should definitely be a little lower than a 10 how much golf videos I watch. It's my family, it's football, and then it's golf. Those are three important things in my life right now.
Saquon Barkley with us. So, your second year in Philadelphia, you know, you get here last year, and there's sort of a new guy thing, right? Because a lot of the players had been on the team previously. This second year, having the year here under your belt, do you feel like you assume more of a leadership role within the team now that you're sort of cemented as an Eagle?
Yeah, definitely. I think I asserted myself in the leadership role last year, just coming in with the mindset of, you know, buying into the culture that was established before I was here, and taking what I've known over the past prior 6 years up to that point, be able to have a name and going against a lot of these guys, so I had something to respect. But yeah, when you're here for a year, you just become more familiar, you know, with the organization, with everyone in there, and you get to know them even more, and they get to know you even more. So that just helps and go a long way, and I'm excited. You know, for me, it's not about whether I'm a captain or, you know, if people say I'm a leader, it's about how I come to work every single day and the mindset that I have and, you know, wanting to be accountable, wanting to be detailed, wanting to be tough, and the most important thing, in my opinion, bringing the team together and making sure we go out there and perform as a unit.
Now, I know we've moved on from last year for the most part, but me as a fan of the team, of the sport, and of yours, it's hard for me to move completely past last year, especially since we got you on the phone with us. What an outstanding year you had last year, man. A historical year that certainly could have become a record-breaking year. So I'm going to throw this out there to you, Saquon, because I was one of the guys beating the drum for you to play in the last game and the O-line to play in the last game for the record. I'm just wondering, off-season, is there any time that you ever thought about, like, holding that record? I know you got the overall record for yards when you include the postseason, but that record of Eric Dickerson's, how bad did you really want to break that record?
Yeah, I kind of messed around with that, right? My feelings, you know, kind of were all over the place. At first, I genuinely didn't care for the record. But at the same time, like you just said, you know, with the offensive line, I saw how much, you know, rush for 2,000 yards and how much that record meant to them and how much the record meant to my father. So, yes, obviously you know, I would love to have went out there and try to break the record, but that's not what, you know, that's not why I play the game. Mm-hmm. You play this game just to win championships, and we accomplished that last year. I felt like sitting out that last game gave us the momentum that we needed with our body and our health to go into the playoffs and make a run, and that was the most important thing, and it turned out perfect. You know what I mean? We ended up doing what we needed to do, and you know, it would have been cool, but why not? You know, why not? There might be another opportunity, whether it's, you know, this year, the years coming up. And if it's not, you know, it is what it is. There's only eight other people to accomplish, that, you know, that milestone of 2,000 yards. And, you know, it's a fraternity. I put myself apart, that, you know, that's enough too for me. And just doing that with the guys up front meant a lot also.
Nothing wrong with that too, Casey. Now, how much have you thought about or do you pay attention to the outside noise of he carried the ball as much as he did last year? Guys coming off of great seasons like that seem to have take a step back or what have you. You know, I brought up to the fellas, like, listen, sometimes there are rare exceptional athletes that buck the trends or things of that nature. I think you're in that category. Not that I expect you to rush for 2,000 yards again this season, but – having a great season and going out and accomplishing some of those individual goals that I'm sure you put out there for yourself. Do you ever worry about being overused coming into the season, or is it just business as usual for you?
Yeah, you know, that narrative is kind of annoying. I've seen it. I think I play the only position in the NFL or in any sports that you're supposed to have a bad year because you had a good year the year prior, mm-hmm. which to me, that just doesn't, you know, that doesn't make sense. I come under the belief of why not build off of that year? And a successful year and a great year, you know, as an individual doesn't always need to be a 2,000-yard season. And that's the mindset that we're taking on, you know, as a team also. Like, obviously, we won the Super Bowl a year prior. But it doesn't – it might not look the same, and it doesn't have to look the same. The only thing that matters is going out there and winning a football game and putting ourselves in a position to do it again. And I'm taking that same mindset as an individual with my goals. It's not 2,000 yards. It's not break Eric Dickerson's record. That wasn't even my goal last year. It's to go out there and be healthy and perform at a high level and, you know, make plays for my team and lead. So for me, it's I kind of – that narrative just doesn't make any sense. But I believe that, you know, God got a plan for us all. And my goal is to go out there and – push myself to the limit, work hard, put myself in position to go out there and perform at a high level, and let him take care of the rest.
Saquon, when you were playing in New York, I was working in New York as well. How is it different playing just in everything? What is it different playing in Philadelphia than playing in New York? What are the differences for you?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to play in for probably, you know, two of the biggest markets and sports markets in the, you know, in America. And it's been super fun for both here. You know, I love to choose my words wisely, and the best way I can describe our fan base is the most passionate fan base, in all the sports. And they're going to let you know, when you're doing good, and they're going to let you know when you're doing bad. You know, I don't know anywhere else you can go. I can go to the mall. I can go grocery shopping or anywhere outside, and you know, some people won't even come up and say, "How you doing, Mr. Barkley?" They're just going to look at you and say, "Go Birds," and just keep it moving. It's fun. It kind of gives me the sense of college. And when you play for a big college program, you know, as I did with Penn State, and you get to the NFL, you know, a lot of places aren't like that. A lot of places don't have that fan base. A lot of places don't have that electricity in the stadium. And, you know, you search for that, and I didn't have to search far. It was right down the corner here in Lincoln Financial Field.
So coming into last season, the Eagles had this big thing to prove because of how they collapsed the year before, which you were not here for. You came into last season sort of, you know, with an up and down run with the Giants, and you played like, at least to my eyes, like you had something to prove. How do you go into this season with, you know, everyone had that in front of them to motivate them last year? How does everyone do that again this year? Like with that same sort of level of intensity and motivation after you've already conquered it?
Yes. You know, they say climbing the mountain's hard, but staying at the mountaintop is even harder. And the way that we do that, we know the recipe. We know what it takes. Like I said before, obviously it's going to look different, but you've got to go out there and just continue to love the game, continue to play with passion, and continue to do whatever it takes to win football games. I think we have the group of guys to do that. We've got to continue to prove it to ourselves. It doesn't matter what anybody else say on the outside. You know, even though we appreciate all the fans, we appreciate all you guys, but to be completely honest, what anyone says on TV or what anybody says in the stadium is not going to dictate if we win a football, win or lose football games. It's the way we, you know, hold ourselves accountable in this building. And that's the goals that we're going to continue to have, is to do it together and to be smart, be detailed, you know, all those things we have, and just go out there and perform at a high level.
Saquon, do you have any message for the youth football players in high school and middle school who are going to try this season to jump backwards over their opponents?
My advice would be, if you're going to do it, don't do it backwards. I got lucky. It was a cool moment. But hey, the beauty of that play and where it comes to, you know, little kids and fans that watch, it's able to show my creativity as a football player. So if anything, I hope it urges players to go out there and be creative and, you know, don't think you can't do anything on a football field. And that's how I try to play. But yes, I would advise to be smart. Jumping over someone is not as hard as it looks. I always tell them, if when I break it down and you watch film and you know the guys who's going to go low, the one I did, I got lucky on, was a little harder than most. But I would challenge them to continue to be creative, continue to, you know, don't let anybody ever tell you can't do nothing. That's not only with football, that's outside of football too.
You can be honest. How many times have you watched it?
Too much. to be honest, I'm over it. That's why I can't wait for the season to start.
Do you do another one?
Not to do another one. I think that's the last time I will be jumping over anyone backwards. I can't promise that because this is a reaction, but I don't plan to do that whatsoever. Actually, I remember I was training with my little brother, and we had like these boxes, and I was jumping over my kids, and I just did the same kind of jump over my kids just for fun, and I was like, okay, that's the last time I'm ever going to do it. But I'm excited for the season to create new memories, to create new moments, whether it's an individual, whether it's a team. And what we did in 24 was so special, and I had a lot of special moments myself, but that's the beauty of football. It doesn't really matter what happened the year before, it's what have you done for me lately, and we get to show that this year.
Well, that's pretty cool. The kids got to experience dad jumping over them that way. So that's pretty cool.
I gotta find that video and get it to you guys.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know if Nick and Howie's gonna be happy that way.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
I might have to ask you one taboo question here. Well, it could be taboo, but it seems like you have the right mindset, so none of this stuff seems to, I guess, attach itself to someone with your mindset. The whole Madden cover, right? First of all, how special is it for you and your family that you're donning the Madden cover? That pretty cool for you?
It's super cool. Even to this moment, you know, sometimes I'll go downstairs and I'll turn the game on, and it's the reason why it's so cool, because it's something that I dreamed about as a little kid. Mm. You know, if you're a football player growing up, you want to be on a Madden cover. You want to have that moment, and for it to come to life, it feels surreal. So I'm just happy that, you know, that happened. Obviously, I know I couldn't do that without, you know, the Eagles organization and the season we had and my teammates, but for me to have that moment, it's one of the, outside of winning the Super Bowl, it's one of the coolest things that happened in my career so far.
Saquon, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, one more thing I wanted to mention to you. We work with a guy named Elliot Shore Parks. He's the guy who keeps the training camp stats. Little blonde guy, you know him, right?
Yeah.
So he told us a story once last year that you were, I guess, maybe you had French cuffs or something, but you had a button.
He had a problem putting his cufflink in.
Putting your cufflink in, and you asked him to help, and he got sweaty, and he failed, and he did a really bad job. And first, we just want to apologize for that. But second, do you remember that, and do you remember his failure?
I do remember that. That is a true story. I think the moment got too big for him in that scenario. But I do remember that.
The moment got too big.
You put that on a tombstone.
Yeah, dude. You just gave us the quote for
yes.
a lifetime.
Appreciate it.
Well,
yes.
Let me tell you something, man. You gave us a season for a lifetime, and we're so proud to have you as an Eagle, not just last year, but the fact that we get to watch you again. And we thank you so much for your time, for what you're doing for the Eagles Autism Foundation, that the golf, and what you've done for us, for fans, and what you will continue to do. Thank you so much, Saquon, for your time, and best of luck this year.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, guys.
There he is, Saquon Barkley. That is the quote of the century.
Now, finally, you asked that Elliott question enough. Somebody finally gave us one.
Yeah.
Juergens gave a great answer saying that still the stats are BS.
Yeah.
And then that saying the moment was too bright for Elliott.
And the fact that he definitely remembered it. He was not just saying
not
it.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Elliott, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
he's never going to live that down.
He's the main character. You know, that's what he wants.
Yep.
2-1. By the way, if you want to bid on the Saquon Jason Kelce item, you want to bid on getting a haircut with Jordan Mailata and the Eagles barber, you want to go do a Peloton class with Sidney Brown. Is that who's doing the Peloton?
Yeah.
With Sidney Brown. If you want to have lunch with Nick Sirianni and play horse, if you want to have lunch with Howie Roseman, EaglesRadiothon.com, once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, all going for a great cause. Also, if those are out of your price range, get the great T-shirt designed by Reed Blankenship and Cooper DeGene at EaglesRadiothon.com, or you can text the word AFTERNOON to 53209.
Can you imagine spending 4.5 hours with that guy on the golf course and Jason Kelce?
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. Come
on, man. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Cam's
stories and then the conversations, man.
And look what he gave us good stuff on the air. Off the air, you're getting everything.
Yeah.
You're getting everything. We will get to Cam Juergens in a moment. Nolan Smith going to join us too. Right now, I want to tell you about your windows, which are not nearly as sturdy as the guy we just talked to. They have had too many carries and they need to be replaced. Your windows need to be replaced. You probably got a couple doors. Gaida is the place to do it. There's a reason that they have served the tri-state area for decades upon decades. It's because they do a great job with a great product. GoGaida.com. That's where you're going to get 40% off every window, every expertly installed triple pane energy efficient window. 40% off. You're going to get 40% off every door. This is just during August. A garage door, a sliding patio door, a front door, whatever it is, 40% off. Gaida also has buy now, pay later, which means no money out of pocket, and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Are you serious? Don't miss it. This is August only. All prior sales are excluded. Call Gaida today at 877-GO-GAIDA or go to GoGaida.com. That's GoGYDA.com. Saquon's a good dude, man.
Yeah.
We root for all the guys here on all the teams because we want the teams to win. But there's certain guys, like, I'm proud to have Saquon now. I wish we got Saquon. Like, I wish we had all of Saquon.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? I wish you didn't have to spend 4 years with the Giants or however many years it was with the Giants, you know?
Dude, he makes Fritzy and I, now we are part of the running back culture. Like, we still believe in the franchise back.
Yes.
Having him perform the way that he did, Bijan playing the way he is down there.
Bijan.
Bijan.
Shut up.
Just look, I respect the guy.
It's Bijan.
Bijan.
I'm just saying, man, McCaffrey playing the way he did before he got injured.
Yeah.
The running back, man, you get a good one.
What? Henry?
Yeah.
Yes, Derrick Henry, yes.
There was a lot of Eagles worms around here yelling at this show saying you don't draft a running back.
You don't win with running backs. It's a passing league.
Yeah, it's a passing league. you can get another one. They grow on trees. Didn't Howard used to say that? They grow on trees. What tree?
I thought that's why you said it. Yes,
dude,
that was your dad's thing.
No, I wasn't here for it.
Yeah, that was his thing.
Oh, dude, what tree does Saquon Barkley grow on? Joining us now. Oh, we just talked to him last. It's our good buddy, Cam Juergens. Cam, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Cam?
So Cam Juergens has two items on Eagles Radiothon. You can bid at EaglesRadiothon.com. So I want to ask you about both of them. So the first one is you and two guests get to go axe throwing.
Oh God!
With Cam, Landon Dickerson, and Jordan Mailata. Are you guys?
That's a trio right there, man.
Yeah, like
I mean, that's you said Landon and
that's
right
three.
We did that the last couple years, and people come out, they have a great time. Hopefully we don't chop any heads off, but yeah, we get an axe truck coming over here. You get to go on NovaCare property and we get to throw some axes around.
I got to say, man, it's a little intimidating if I got to go axe throwing and the three guys that I got to go axe throwing with look like you three, you know? I mean, like, I hope that you're taking it easy on whoever you're throwing with.
No, you're just trying to break the board in front.
Okay.
I mean, we get competitive. But
who's the best out of the three of you guys?
Landon.
Okay.
Landon.
Really? Yeah, he looks like an axe.
Yeah, well, he's probably been doing it since he was like five.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. He looks like he was born in like some ice road truckers jungle somewhere out there. Axe man, who knows?
So the other item is you and five guests, not you, Cam, but whoever bids, you and five guests participate in a beef jerky tasting with Jergy with at the net. Now, that is your beef jerky brand.
Yeah.
What is, describe to me a beef jerky tasting with Cam Jurgens. How does that go?
Well, if you're a fan of the Eagles and you're a fan of beef jerky, I don't know where else you would want to put your money at for this Eagles Autism Foundation and Eagles Radiothon than coming here, NovaCare, and having a meal and eating some prime jerky with me. It's my own company. I started it up in college, actually, with NIL. And now, you know, we're produced out of Littlestown, PA, a couple hours from here. But pretty much everything's made and shipped out of here in Pennsylvania, and it is the best jerky I've ever had. We got five flavors. We might have more flavors by then. You know, you're gonna have to, you know, win it and see if you can come out here and see which flavor is your favorite.
Let me ask you, as a jerky connoisseur, in the process of making the jerky, what is the most important step in making a great jerky?
I think getting good quality beef. I think that's the number one thing. You know. Beyond that, you know, you're going to have to go through the right process to, you know, cure it, to dry it, season it. Mm. You don't want to season it too much. You don't want to have a bunch of fat. We can talk a little bit more about that.
That sounds good.
So
he's not a jerky guy. I am.
Yeah, I'm a mushroom jerky.
But you're pushing for the mushroom jerky, which no one wants.
Well, look, I ordered some mushroom jerky today. I'm going to get it to you to see if you'd consider it in the future. You guys do play football next week. You know, training camp is not like it used to be. I know it's hard, but it is. It's not sort of, you don't play in the preseason games. You guys are starters. There's not as many practices. Do you feel ready to play regular season NFL football?
Yeah. I mean, shoot, it doesn't matter if you're ready or not. You're going to go out there.
Right. It's a good point.
Yeah, that's damn sure.
Yeah. You feel like you guys have had enough reps as a unit, you know, to go again? Like, I guess I'm trying to feel like how whole you feel as a unit going into that game.
Yeah, you know, I do feel pretty whole, but it's always tough when you're going into that first game because, you know, you're watching tape from the preseason. And you don't know if they're, you know, showing their stuff that they're going to do during the year or, you know. Cowboys, they got some new coaches in there. You just don't know exactly what you're going to see. So that's always a tough part about starting the year off. So, you know, you can be in great shape, ready to go, and you just got to be ready to, you know, go through some of the punches. You know, we're going to see some stuff that we aren't prepared for, and, you know, they're going to see some stuff that they ain't prepared for. But that's just part of that first week.
Eagles center Cam Jurgens with us. What's the most important thing that will happen for you in terms of preparation between now and next Thursday?
Important thing,
yeah,
just getting my mind right, getting ready for the season. You know, we'll get a couple days off, and it's just all about getting your mind right, getting ready for this long season. It's a little different this year, starting on a Thursday, so I'm excited for the season. You know, I'm also excited for tomorrow night, Nebraska. My Scurs, they're facing Cincinnati.
Bearcats,
tomorrow night, 9 Eastern. Go Scurs. We'll see how that goes. So I'm excited.
I tell you what, you got a good coach out there, Matt Rhule, man. He coached out here, and we loved him when he was at Temple. Turned that program mm-hmm. around before he left. So, Matt Rhule's a pretty good coach.
I go back there and train a lot in the offseason, and I feel like over half that staff is all from Philly. There's a lot of Philly guys down in Nebraska now, so it's cool to see. You know, we're talking all about the same food spots and what they like about the city. Everybody's got their own cheesesteak spot.
We're everywhere. Philly people are everywhere, Ken.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Now, you haven't gone through a Super Bowl banner raising before. This will be your first one, but Thursday, that is happening at the stadium. It's so big and it's all about last year, which you guys have told us that you're not concentrating on. Like, do you worry that any of that stuff on Thursday celebrating last year can be a distraction?
No, Honestly, okay. I didn't even know we were doing that Thursday. So,
okay. See, linemen don't care, man. They don't care about that stuff, man. They
you're
don't
doing
care.
It. Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah.
I don't give a damn. I don't really care about the Raptors anyway. Yes. So, yeah, I'm glad we did it, but we got to win the game. You know, it's the Cowboys, so it don't matter.
All right. Yep. Well, Cam, we appreciate your time again. Go get ready for the game. Remember, if you're listening, you can bid on axe throwing with Cam Landon and Jordan. You can bid on a beef jerky tasting with Jergy, Cam's own brand. You can do it at EaglesRadiothon.com. It all benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. We appreciate your time, Cam. Thanks
appreciate
so much,
it, Cam.
Man.
I appreciate you guys. Go Birds.
Go yeah. Birds. There he is.
I just got off his website.
The Jergy website?
Man, yeah. Yeah. If you're a jerky man.
A jerky man.
And you're a well-known meatsman.
You're
a well-known meatsman.
Yep.
You know what I like?
It's pretty good. Got a nice little variety of flavors.
Yeah. Five flavors,
got
he
some
said.
Bundle packs that he's selling, man. So, yeah, I'm going to put an order in.
He's a businessman.
I did order some mushroom jerky for him. And I'm gonna make Elliot give it to him.
Again, I'll
tell you, Elliot's in the middle of a lot of stuff.
Well,
down there right
well, he, so by the way, private text being brought on the air.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, God.
He could not believe that Saquon remembered. And I said,
and he definitely remembered.
He 100% remembered. Yes. Yep. Also, how could you not?
Yep. Yeah.
Not many times that somebody is putting on your cufflinks for you. Yeah.
He choked the moment. You can't do it.
The lights were too bright for Elliot. Yeah.
So we have Nolan Smith coming up. We also have the top five at five. Jack, what do we have coming up in the top five at five?
Rejected WIP Radiothon items.
Oh, wow. That's an old morning show bit. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It better be.
But now I do it every year.
Okay. Oh, you do? Okay. All right. That is coming up next on the top five at five. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.